You know, I had a week off, and I actually did clean my garage. That's an amazing thing. I came back this week. Kids, I guess, do we have any ones? This is for Children's Church today? Donna? Well, those of you who weren't here last night, you missed a really good concert. It was really awesome. It was second time this year that we had Heart of the City here. They normally only go to a place maybe once a year. They don't normally like to go to places, but we probably had, 180 thereabouts here last night, and a lot of people said that they really felt the Spirit of the Lord here and on them last night. So I'm not going to say that. I thought so, but it's nice to have that confirmation from others. Part of my vacation, I took the opportunity to surprise my mom and stepfather. They go to church up at Crossroads. So, Crossroads Alliance, up northwest end of Brooklyn Park. So we walked in the middle of the worship set and sat down next to them, and they're like, gave us one of those, "What are you doing here?" So that was kind of fun. Nice to see one of the pastors I know who preach. Normally I don't get to see too many other pastors preach. So that was kind of fun. Now this morning, part of what I was doing is I listened to last Sunday's sermon. Now I realized I have to rewrap my sermon and do a rebuttal. First off, the guy's reading text that I've got coming up next week. Then he's giving you a definition of love that's a little bit different than what I'm preaching. Then he's telling you to come see me for office. Now, Dan, I just want to say I enjoyed the message this morning. But the definition of love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. But you did have the selfless part right. So that was good. We're going to continue on in our study of 1 Corinthians, and we're not going to skip over chapter 13, the love chapter, even though Dan might have touched on it a little last week, because I'm sure the Lord is going to lead me a little bit different as we look at it from a different viewpoint, different direction. But this week, we're still continuing with the spiritual gifts. As He's starting that, we're going to be talking about those gifts for quite a while now. But this week, we're going to focus on the body. The fact that it's many parts that make up one whole. So let's turn in our Bibles or just look up on the screen. So we're going to go to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to start with verse 12. It says, "And the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body which seem weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and given the greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that in its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And if the church, God has appointed, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. As You speak to us, the body, one, but each of us, the parts, many. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to understand what it is You're saying. Lord, many of us have read this passage, some maybe hundreds of times. It is a very familiar passage. But Lord, I ask that You would open our hearts and our minds to see something new here this morning. For Your Word is living, and it is new every day. So Father God, I ask that You would touch each of us here and show us what it is You would have us to know. Lord, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach this morning, I'd be preaching out of the power of Your Holy Spirit within me. That You would speak to me and through me to each person here. That Your body, the body, the church, might be blessed. Even if only one member is blessed, the whole is. But Lord, I pray not just for a blessing of just one member, but of the entire members, the whole body, that each member might be blessed. For a special blessing upon the body whole. Lord, we give You this time. Speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one body, many parts. A little subheading I have on mine. You know, a lot of you probably have a similar type of heading. I put a little title in saying, parts that make a whole. We have this message here where God is driving home a point that we're having a tough time getting. Why do I say we're having a tough time getting it? Because God repeats Himself and repeats Himself and repeats Himself. Normally that's a sign that we need to pay attention. It's a sign that He's trying to make a point. He's trying to get our attention. There are 19 different variations of telling us that we're one body in that passage that I read. Just in that passage. 19 times, different variations, we're one body. You think He's trying to make a point? I mean, that's where I start. I look at the passage and I read it and I'm saying, well, what jumps out at me? Boom! That's it. What's the context here? Well, remember, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth who just really isn't getting it. They're having some problems. He's told them, you know, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And he explains that each of us have spiritual gifts. That each of us is part of the body now, as he's trying to drive home. That the gifts all come from the one Spirit. And because we all have that one Spirit, we are the one body. We are the church. Dan Adler was here last night. And he was talking about the fact that there's only one church in Minneapolis. In the metro area. In Minnesota. In the United States, in the world, there is only one church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the church where Jesus is the head and we're the body. We're just part of the body. But we are the part that meets here at Northbrook. We're the part that's recognized as Northbrook Alliance Church. And we have various members. Not as many members as they used to have in years gone by. For now, churches grow. Particularly healthy churches, so we want to pray for this church to be healthy and to grow. Now, this church has been part of causing the body of Christ to grow, the whole. We've been kind of like a way station where a lot of people have come. And they've been ministered to. Many have come to know Christ here and gone on elsewhere. Part of it, I think, has to do with maybe a little bit of what Dan was talking about last week. That confessing the sin, coming forward. Well, some people, they have a tough time staying someplace where people know the sin that they've been at. You know, they confess it, they think that they're done, that they don't have to. They want to put that behind them, so they want to leave the place where they confessed the sin and where they were loved and received healing. So they go somewhere else. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. I don't know if it's a bad thing. But it is the reality. That's what people do. So we've seen that here. But here, we're the body. Each one of us is a part of it. And because of that, we each have a gift. And that gift is for the use of the whole. That's why it's like pounded in. You know, what if the whole body was an ear? Well, where's the sense of smell going to be? You know, well, it seems silly. Well, you know what? Sometimes people are just downright silly, aren't we? In some of the things that we come up with. So Paul is really trying to drive home the point. Let's not be silly. Let's not all say, we all want to be the nose. Why? Because it's out front. It's the smell of all the good stuff first. Everybody sees the nose. I want to be seen. Some will say, no, 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 I don't want to be seen. Well, that's right. We're all supposed to be different. So we shouldn't all try to be the same. So we have each our own role to play. Whether we're up front here on the platform on a Sunday morning, whether we're down here in front sharing a testimony, whether we're just sitting in the chairs, worshiping, praying. We each have a role. Some of you that would never, ever, ever think about coming up here, do important things for the body, as part of the body. Because each and every one of you is important, is in fact necessary. See, God doesn't make unnecessary parts. We think that some parts are unnecessary, but they're really not. Each one has a purpose, and there's a price we pay when we remove those unnecessary parts of our body. You know, some say, well, you don't need the appendix. We haven't figured out what it... Well, actually, I think they're figuring out that there are some things that the appendix is supposed to do. Now, if I don't have one no more, I better be careful. Those are various things that are going on in the body. We've got each of us doing different things. And each one's important. And sometimes we forget that. We think that one thing is more important than another. And there are things that are in the hierarchy of greater value or of greater import, a worker of miracles is a greater gift. Yes, it's listed as a greater gift. But the worker of miracles isn't more valuable to the body than the one who has the gift of hospitality that grants the worker of miracles a place to stay. Or the prayer warrior who's praying that the Lord would bless and use them in their ministry. Or the one who has the small gift of evangelism. You know, not the big gift, the big E of evangelism, but the little E of evangelism. And the person who's inviting people and saying, come with me. Come to church. You know, there's going to be somebody there, and I think that you're going to hear the message that they're going to, that might just change your heart, might just change your life. That person's needed in the church. You can have a big-time evangelist, worker of miracles up front, and if nobody's inviting people, there's going to be nobody to do miracles upon. I guess I'm not very important. I'm not a worker of miracles, leastwise not a lot of them. God has used me for a couple of minor, you know, I had no part in the Red Sea type stuff or anything, but I prayed for people and a couple of them have gotten better. And they attributed to God having heard my prayer and God using me at that time for healing. One of Dan's board members, it's a gal who I prayed for, and she runs around telling people about this all the time. I'm going, I just showed up at the hospital. I prayed for you after a car accident. I don't know what you're getting all this. She's certain. Barbara's certain that God used that prayer for healing. Well, okay. It tells us here that we are to eagerly desire greater gifts. So if we have a small gift, if we are a smaller, more innocuous part of the body, we are to desire, or it's okay to desire, the greater gifts. See, I have a question for you. How many people believe that the apostles were born, birthed out, full-blown apostles? Nobody's raising their hand. Even Jesus wasn't birthed out full-blown Messiah on the cross. He had to grow and mature. When he was born, he had limited himself. So he didn't have omniscience. He didn't know everything. He had limited himself. He didn't have omnipotence. He didn't have, wasn't all powerful. He was a baby. And all of us come into this world as a baby. As we become Christians, guess what we start them at? We start out as babies, spiritually. And babies grow up. Some learn how to play guitars. Chris was playing guitar today. You know, I took guitar lessons and I tried, practiced, and no, I don't play guitar. I tried trumpet, I tried cello. I think it's the fact that I have no rhythm. That hurts. So that's not the gift that I was given. But God gifts us when we come to Him. But we also have here is we're telling us to desire a greater gift, to seek after them. Once we have one gift, God is gracious and loving and said, I'll give you another gift. Paul, when he was still Saul, first had just the gift of salvation. He wasn't an apostle yet. In fact, he was just the guy who was heading into Damascus to persecute a bunch of people. He was later gifted with apostleship. He was later gifted with being able to work miracles. How'd that happen? Why'd that happen? Because he was seeking after God. He was seeking after the greater gifts. Now, are all going to become apostles? Are all going to be prophets? And the question here, is everybody an apostle? Is everybody a prophet? And the answer is no. Is everybody here an apostle? No. Is everybody in the church an apostle? No. Are there apostles in the church? Yes. I have met a couple people who I believe firmly have the gift of apostleship. I said, Pastor, what's that? I mean, we see it listed there, but I'm not quite sure what it is. Well, you look at the Bible and you see who the apostles were and what they did. And one gentleman that I'm thinking of is Skirmai Telkeb. You probably never heard of him. Maybe I've mentioned him before. But he's a church planner in the Christian Missionary Alliance. And Skirmai has planted probably in excess of 15 churches in the last 15 years. He preaches with authority. He grows up leaders, plants churches, and he moves on. I look at that. I look at what I look at Scripture, and I say, that looks like apostle to me. Now, where does desire the greater gifts? When you were first born again, you didn't have all the gifts that you have now. What gifts? Well, when you were first born, could you speak? Could you walk? Could you play any musical instrument? Could you play a car radio? No, not when you were first born. And if we want to even back it up further, and we look at the conception and the gestation of a baby. You have the egg and the sperm come together, that become first, then you have one cell which divides, becomes two cells, which divides, becomes four cells, which divides, becomes eight cells. And at first, all the cells are identical. But they all have the potential to be anything, any part. And then God causes the various parts to grow and occur in order through the genetic structure that He's caused us to have. And as He knits us together in our mother's womb, we grow hands and feet. We grow hearts and minds. We grow ears and eyes. We, the body, we all start out like that. The Holy Spirit comes on us. And then, what are we going to be? Are we going to be an ear? Are we going to be a foot? Are we going to be an ear, and maybe later we'll grow and be a mouth? Now, that's not the way it happens in the body, per se, but the difference is that God is using this as an illustration, and we shouldn't use it to limit what His intent here. What He's trying to tell us is that we can go after the greater gifts, that a part that was once might have considered itself a foot can become a hand, which can become the mouth, the proclamation. Whatever. Our gifts can grow. We can be more than what we are now. Say, God has only gifted me with... And God has gifted you with something. Let me tell you, be specific there. You do have a spiritual gift. But He's given you the gift that you're ready for. The gift that you need to grow to the point where you're ready to ask for more. And then He'll give you more. Because God has many gifts. Now, is He going to gift everybody all the gifts? No. But we're to seek after the greater gifts, that we would each grow at least in that direction. It's all about a healthy body growing. Again, we have the illustration of a body. We, the church, the individuals are one. We come together, we become one. And as a whole, we need to grow. And as individual parts, we need to grow. And when we do that, we bless the entirety of it. When one of you here does well, we're all blessed. When one of you is hurt or stumbles, we're all damaged. We're all hurt. If you stub your pinky toe, the hand doesn't say, ha, ha, ha. The hand holds the toe and says, oh, poor toe. When the body grows and is able to do something like sit up here and play guitar, the whole body benefits. It's a greater gift. Seek after it. Follow it. We're going to keep talking about spiritual gifts. as we continue on through 1 Corinthians. And we're going to get more into some of the specific gifts. But the primary thing, the basis that Paul is trying to really drive home here, that God is using Paul to drive home, is that we each have spiritual gifts. We each are important to the body. All those gifts are for the use of the entire body. Your gift that you have is not for you. It's for us. And we're to seek after the greater gifts, not for our individual betterment, but for the betterment of the body as a whole. So seek the greater gifts. Seek the betterment of the body. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we are one body, that you are the Christ, that you are the head of this body. Lord, we ask that you would give us guidance and direction each day, that you would help each of us to grow into the part that you would have us to be, ultimately be. Lord, might we work together as a whole, not seeking to bring division, but unity. Not seeking to put down another part, but to lift each part up according to your will, according to true love, to support and encourage. Father, help us to truly be the body of Christ. Help us to recognize that each of us is important, vitally important, to the health of the whole. Understanding that even if one part suffers a little bit, we all suffer. And if one part grows in you, we all benefit. So Lord, might we each one seek the greater gifts. Might we seek to know you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.